A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He wants to know about the world beyond Pelican cases and standard road cases, the stuff that's purpose-built for very specific gear. He's asking about specialized units for moving networking equipment, and then the digital nomad's nightmare of trying to pack computer monitors and visa mounts into aircraft carry-ons. It's basically the question of what happens when the one-size-fits-most solution doesn't fit your particular disaster waiting to happen.
This is one of those topics where once you see the problem, you can't unsee it. Most people think Pelican equals indestructible equals solved. But I've watched a network engineer open a sealed Pelican after a flight and find his switch dripping with condensation because he didn't understand what a pressure equalization valve does.
Condensation inside a waterproof box.
It's the fundamental tension. A case that seals perfectly against water also seals perfectly against air exchange, which means it seals perfectly to cook your electronics or drown them in their own humidity. And that's before we even get to the monitor problem.
Which is its own special circle of logistics hell. But before we dive into the specifics, let's define what we're actually talking about when we say protective case, because the terminology gets sloppy fast.
So broadly, you've got three categories. First, rotational molded cases. That's your Pelican, your SKB, your Nanook. They're made by pouring plastic powder into a mold and rotating it while it's heated, which gives you a uniform wall thickness and those trademark rounded corners. The material is typically a polypropylene copolymer resin, not ABS, which gets brittle in cold temperatures. Polypropylene keeps its impact resistance down to about minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit, which is why you see these things in Arctic film shoots.
It's not just plastic. It's a specific polymer engineered for a specific failure mode, shattering on impact in extreme cold.
And that's the lens we should use for this whole conversation. Every case is an answer to a specific question about what breaks and how. The second category is vacuum-formed cases, your classic ATA road cases. The ones with aluminum edging and recessed butterfly latches. These are typically made from ABS or polyethylene sheets that get heated and vacuum formed over a mold. They're lighter than rotomolded cases but less impact resistant. The aluminum extrusion gives them structural rigidity, but it also means they can deform if they take a hard hit on a corner.
The plywood and laminate touring cases that bands have been using since the 70s.
Those are actually a subset of the second category, though some of the heavy-duty ones use Baltic birch plywood with a phenolic resin coating. Extremely durable, but also extremely heavy. A full-size road case for a guitar amplifier can weigh 40 pounds empty, and the third category is custom fabricated, machined aluminum, CNC routed foam inserts, carbon fiber shells. This is where you get into the truly bespoke stuff, where a case is built around a single specific piece of equipment.
The spectrum runs from a $150 Pelican that sort of fits everything to an $800 custom aluminum chassis with a foam insert that was 3D scanned from the actual device it's protecting. Which brings us to the core question. Why can't you just use a Pelican for everything?
Because the best case matches the failure mode of the contents. Drop protection is only one failure mode. You've also got vibration, electrostatic discharge, humidity, thermal cycling, and crush force. A Pelican 1510 is brilliant at drop protection. It'll survive being thrown off a loading dock. But it's terrible at thermal management. Seal a running Cisco switch in one and you've built an oven.
How fast does that oven heat up?
A typical 48-port PoE switch, something like a Cisco Catalyst 9/3 Heron, weighs about 18 to 22 pounds and generates between 150 and 200 watts of heat under load. In a sealed Pelican with no ventilation, internal temperature can hit 60 degrees Celsius within 30 minutes. That's 140 Fahrenheit. Most enterprise networking gear has a maximum operating temperature of 40 to 50 degrees Celsius, so you've got maybe 15 minutes before the switch starts throttling or shuts down entirely.
So the waterproof case is literally cooking the thing it's supposed to protect. The thermal failure mode is the one most people never think about until they open a case and feel the heat wave hit their face.
That's why the networking world has its own entire ecosystem of protective cases. So let's start with the most demanding use case, moving live networking equipment in the field.
By live, you mean actually running while in transit.
Think about a disaster recovery scenario. A network operations center gets flooded, or a construction crew cuts a fiber trunk, and you need to deploy a temporary node. Your NOC engineer shows up with what's called a shock rack, a portable 2U or 4U rack enclosure with silicone vibration dampeners, forced air cooling, and often a built-in UPS battery. The whole thing is designed to be wheeled onto a truck, driven to a site, and powered on within minutes.
It's a data center in a suitcase. Or more accurately, a data center in a rolling rack that costs more than my first car.
The Anvil Cases Road Warrior series is a good example. It's a 4U shock mount rack case with a built-in 120mm fan array and a temperature alarm that triggers at 40 degrees Celsius. The rack ears are isolated from the outer frame by elastomeric dampeners. Basically, the equipment floats inside the case. If the truck hits a pothole, the case takes the impact, but the switch inside only experiences a fraction of the vibration.
The floating equipment concept is interesting. It's the opposite of the Pelican approach, where the foam absorbs the shock by being in direct contact with the gear. Here, you're mechanically decoupling the contents from the container.
And the thermal solution is just as important as the mechanical one. These shock racks typically have filtered intake vents on the front and exhaust fans on the rear, often running off a 12-volt DC bus that can be powered by the truck's electrical system or an internal battery. Some of the higher-end units, and this is where it gets really specific, use what's called a heat sink mating system. The switch's chassis is bolted directly to an aluminum plate that's thermally coupled to an external fin array. The heat conducts through the metal without any air exchange. It's completely sealed against dust and moisture, but it still dissipates heat.
Passive cooling through the case body itself. That's clever engineering. You're turning the case into a giant heat sink.
It solves the condensation problem, too. If you've got a sealed Pelican that goes from a cold aircraft cargo hold to a warm, humid terminal, the temperature differential causes water to condense on the inside surfaces, including your switch's circuit board. A pressure equalization valve helps, but it's not a complete solution. The Pelican Storm series has a Gore-Tex membrane valve that allows air pressure to equalize while keeping water out, but the standard IM series doesn't. So if you're flying with a server, the Storm case is the better choice.
The difference between a destroyed switch and a functional one is a little Gore-Tex patch that most people don't even know exists.
It's the kind of detail that separates a $300 case from a $150 case, and most buyers don't understand why until it's too late. I once watched a network engineer lose an entire switch, a $6,000 Cisco, because he forgot to open the pressure valve before a flight. The case was sealed tight, the plane descended, the pressure differential sucked moisture into the case, and when he opened it at the hotel, there was literal water beating on the back plane.
A $6,000 lesson in atmospheric physics. The ESD problem is the other one that gets overlooked, right?
Huge problem for networking gear. SFP modules, those little hot swappable transceivers that handle fiber connections, are incredibly sensitive to static. A discharge of as little as 100 volts can damage them, and you could generate 1,000 volts just by walking across a carpet. In dry climates or cold trucks, the risk goes way up. Standard foam in a Pelican case is not conductive, which means it doesn't dissipate static. It builds it up. Every time the gear shifts slightly against the foam during transit, you're generating a charge.
Like rubbing a balloon on your hair, except the balloon costs $2,000 and roots packets.
The solution is conductive foam. Specifically, carbon-impregnated polyurethane foam like the 3M22100 series. It has a surface resistivity low enough to bleed off static charges safely. The foam itself is typically pink or black, and it's more expensive than standard polyurethane by a factor of about 3 to 5. But for anyone moving SFP modules or switch back planes, it's not optional. It's the difference between gear that works on arrival and gear that fails mysteriously 3 months later.
Mysterious intermittent failures are the worst kind of failure. You can't even diagnose them properly. So if I'm a NOC engineer doing disaster recovery, what's the actual deployable unit I'm wheeling onto the site?
There's a configuration that's become almost standard. It's sometimes called Cisco in a box, though it's not an official Cisco product. It's a custom-fabricated aluminum case, usually about the size of a large suitcase, that contains a compact switch, often a Cisco 9200 or 9300 series, a small UPS battery good for about 30 minutes of runtime, an LTE or 5G modem for backhaul connectivity, and an environmental sensor package that logs temperature, humidity, and shock events. The whole thing is pre-cabled internally, so you literally open the lid, plug in power and a WAN connection, and you're online.
The case is not just protection. It's a deployment platform. It's the difference between carrying a switch in a box and carrying a functioning network node. The integration is the product.
That's where the cost jumps. A Pelican 1510 with pluck foam is about $200. A custom fabricated aluminum case with integrated cooling, UPS, and environmental monitoring can run $800 to $1200 empty. With the electronics inside, you're looking at several thousand dollars for a fully kitted unit. But the alternative is shipping a spare switch in a cardboard box, arriving with a bent chassis and a cracked PCB, and then spending 6 hours trying to bring up a replacement node while the site is down.
The economics of downtime make an $800 case look like pocket change. Now, if you think networking gear is tricky, try packing a 32-inch monitor and a Visa arm into a carry-on.
This is where the Digital Nomad community has been running a massive distributed experiment in materials engineering, mostly through trial and error and a lot of cracked screens. The fundamental constraint is brutal. The maximum carry-on size for most US airlines is 22 by 14 by 9 inches. A Pelican 1510 is 22 by 13.8 by 9 inches. It barely fits, and it weighs 15 pounds empty.
15 pounds before you put anything in it. Most airlines have a 50-pound weight limit for checked bags, and some enforce carry-on weight limits too, especially international carriers. You're burning a third of your allowance on the box itself.
A 32-inch monitor, the panel itself, is roughly 28 inches wide by 16 inches tall by about 2 inches thick. That's already bigger than the carry-on limit in two dimensions. You can't fit it in a standard carry-on at all. So the Nomad who wants a big screen has two choices, chuck a specialized case and pray, or downsize to something that fits.
What's the largest monitor that actually fits in a carry-on?
A 24-inch monitor in a Pelican 1510 with a TrekPack divider system is the sweet spot. The TrekPack uses rigid corrugated plastic dividers with foam padding. It's lighter than solid foam and more reconfigurable. You can fit a single 24-inch display face down with a microfiber screen protector plus a laptop, cables, and maybe a small keyboard. But that's it. No Visa mount, no second monitor, no peripherals beyond the basics.
The 24-inch ceiling is a hard constraint. And a lot of Nomads want 27 or 32 inches now, especially with 4K panels becoming standard.
For 27-inch monitors, you're looking at the Pelican 16.5 air case, which is designed to be the largest possible check-in size while still being manageable, but it weighs 17 pounds empty. Add a monitor, a Visa arm, and cables, and you're at 45 pounds easily. One heavy book, and you're over the limit.
What's the solution for the person who absolutely needs a 32-inch 4K display at their destination?
There are two approaches. One is the monitor suitcase, a hard-sided case with custom-cut foam, like the Case Club Nomad monitor case, which is pre-molded for specific models like the Dell U2723QE. It includes compartments for a MacBook Pro and a webcam. The monitor sits face down in a precision-cut cavity that supports the bezel, not the screen itself. That's the critical detail. The foam should never press against the actual LCD panel. It should cradle the plastic bezel so the screen floats in empty space.
Because any pressure on the panel during a drop translates directly to cracked glass or a damaged liquid crystal layer.
That's the misconception most people have about custom foam. They think it's just for aesthetics or organization. It looks nice in photos. But poorly cut foam can actually damage gear by allowing it to shift during impact. Proper foam is compression fit. The gear should be held in place by friction, not gravity. When you close the lid, the foam in the lid should press down on the foam in the base, creating a three-dimensional clamp. If you can shake the case and feel the contents moving, the foam has failed.
The foam is a suspension system, not a display shelf. What about the soft case approach? I've seen Nomads with padded backpacks that have rigid internal frames.
The STM bags and 10-base solutions fall into this category. They're essentially padded backpacks with a rigid internal frame. Think of a plastic or aluminum sheet that prevents the bag from flexing and transferring that flex to the screen. They work reasonably well for laptops and tablets, but for standalone monitors they have a major limitation: no VESA mount storage. The monitor itself might survive, but the mount is a separate problem.
The VESA mount is where this whole thing gets genuinely absurd. Because a monitor arm is not a conveniently shaped object.
The Ergotron LX is the standard reference here. It's probably the most popular monitor arm among desk setup enthusiasts. The base alone weighs 7.5 pounds. It's a cast iron chunk with a C-clamp or grommet mount. The arm extends 25 inches and uses a gas spring mechanism that you absolutely do not want to disassemble in a hotel room.
7.5 pounds of cast iron. That's not an accessory. That's a boat anchor.
Packing an Ergotron LX requires a case at least 30 inches long to accommodate the fully extended arm, or you have to disassemble it into the base, the lower arm, and the upper arm. Even disassembled, the base is an irregularly shaped lump of metal that will destroy anything it rubs against during transit. Gator Cases makes a foam-lined travel case specifically for the Ergotron LX, with a dedicated cutout for the base and a strap for the arm. But it's a separate case. You're now carrying one case for the monitor and another case for the mount.
Two cases, both heavy, both awkwardly shaped, and both guaranteed to interest the TSA.
Which brings us to the knock-on effect nobody talks about: airport security. TSA screens about 2 million passengers per day, and cases with dense electronics and metal components get flagged for secondary screening about 15% of the time. A case full of a monitor, a cast iron VESA base, and a tangle of cables looks exactly like something that requires a closer look. The TSA-friendly case design is its own subgenre. Transparent lids so agents can see the contents without opening, quick-release latches instead of screws, and pre-printed equipment lists and spec sheets tucked into a visible pocket.
The pre-printed equipment list is a nice touch. It's basically saying, here's what this is, here's what it costs, please don't disassemble it.
Some nomads go further and include a laminated card with photos of the packed case and a diagram of how to repack it. Because if a TSA agent opens your precision foam case and pulls everything out, they're not going to repack it correctly. Your monitor will end up face down against a VESA base with no padding, and you'll discover this when you open the case at your destination and find a shattered screen.
The TSA is not known for their expertise in compression fit foam dynamics. So what's the actual upgrade path for someone who's outgrown a Pelican 1510 with pluck foam?
The modular case system is the direction most serious nomads end up going. Something like a Pelican Air case with the Trek Pack divider system, or a Nonut case with their custom foam service. The key is interchangeable, inserts. You have one foam set for your monitor and laptop configuration, another for your audio gear, another for your camera rig. The case shell is the same, but the interior is swappable.
Which means you're not buying a new $200 case every time your gear changes. You're buying a $60 foam insert.
HPRC and SKB both offer 3D scan foam inserts now. You send them your device, or in some cases a 3D scan file, and they CNC route a foam insert that matches every contour. The Pelican Foam Insert Generator and My Case Builder let you design your own inserts online. You trace the outline of your gear on a grid, specify the depth, and they ship you a custom-cut foam set.
The idea that you can upload a 3D scan of your specific monitor and get back a foam insert that cradles it perfectly, that's a level of customization that didn't exist for consumers 10 years ago.
It's getting cheaper. A custom foam insert for a Pelican 1510 used to cost $200 to $300. Now you can get one for under $100 if you use an online generator and standard foam. The real cost is in the scanning and the CNC time, and both of those are dropping.
What does all this mean for you, the person who actually has to move this gear?
Three things I'd want every listener to take away. First, for networking gear, prioritize thermal management and ESD protection over impact resistance. A case with vents and anti-static foam is worth the extra cost. And it's not a small extra cost, it's often double. Because the failure mode isn't a cracked chassis, it's a fried switch that dies 6 weeks later from cumulative static damage or thermal stress. If you're moving a 48-port PoE switch, get a case with filtered intake vents and a fan array, or at minimum a pressure equalization valve, and use conductive foam, the pink stuff, for anything with SFP modules or exposed circuit boards.
The pink foam is not decorative. It's functional.
For monitors, the screen is the most fragile component, and it fails in a very specific way, flex. When a case gets crushed or dropped, the frame can twist, and that twist gets transferred directly to the LCD panel. The solution is a rigid internal frame that prevents flex, plus a microfiber screen protector to prevent scratches, and foam that supports the bezel, not the screen surface. Never pack a monitor face down without a foam cutout that cradles the edges. If the screen is touching foam anywhere, you've done it wrong.
The bezel is the load-bearing structure. The screen is the cargo.
For digital nomads, invest in a modular case system that can be reconfigured as your gear changes. The upfront cost is high. A Pelican 16.5 Air with Trek Pack dividers runs about $350 to $400, but it saves money on replacements. A single cracked monitor costs more than the case upgrade. And when you're choosing a case, start by measuring your gear's exact dimensions, then identify the specific failure mode you're protecting against. Is it drop? The answer determines the case. Don't just search for best protective case, search for the case that solves your specific problem.
If you're not sure what your failure mode is, think about what would make you curse loudest if it happened at the worst possible moment. That's your failure mode.
That's the engineering version of the precautionary principle. What's the most expensive thing that can break and how does it break? Work backwards from there.
The one thing I'd add is that the weight math is unforgiving. A Pelican 1518 Air weighs 17 pounds. A 27-inch monitor weighs about 12 pounds. An Ergotron LX base weighs 7.5 pounds. Cables, power bricks, laptop, another 5 pounds. You're at 41 pounds before you've packed a change of clothes. If you're checking this case, you need to know your airline's weight limit and you need a scale. Not a bathroom scale. A luggage scale that's accurate to within a few ounces.
International carriers are often stricter than U.S. domestic. Emirates, for example, enforces a 7-kilogram carry-on limit in economy. That's about 15 pounds. A Pelican 1510 empty is 15 pounds. You can't even bring the empty case as a carry-on on Emirates.
The case itself is overweight before you put anything in it. That's the kind of detail that ruins a travel day. But the real question is, where is this all heading?
I think the industry is shifting from protection to integration. As gear gets smaller and more powerful, think about the Mac Studio versus a full tower, PC, the case stops being just a box and starts being a deployment platform. We're seeing cases with built-in Thunderbolt docks, cases with integrated power distribution, cases that are essentially portable workstations with the monitor built into the lid.
The case as docking station. You open it, plug in one cable, and your entire setup is live.
The foam insert technology is moving toward on-demand manufacturing. Companies like Foam Factory and Case Cruiser are already offering 3D scanned custom inserts. The next step is generating those inserts from a smartphone scan. You walk around your device with your phone's LiDAR sensor, upload the mesh, and a CNC machine cuts your foam that afternoon. No shipping your gear anywhere, no measurements, no tracing paper.
The LiDAR on a foam thing is already here. The iPhone Pro models have had LiDAR since 2020. The pipeline from phone scan to custom foam is just waiting for someone to connect the dots in a consumer-friendly way.
Once that's frictionless, the whole economics of protective cases changes. Why buy a generic case and hope it fits when you can get a precision fit insert for the same price? The case becomes a commodity and the foam becomes the product.
Which means the best case is the one you never think about. Your gear arrives intact every time, and you don't spend a single moment wondering if it will. That's the real metric. Not the spec sheet, not the IP rating, not the marketing photos of a case being run over by a truck. It's the absence of anxiety.
The absence of anxiety is the premium feature that doesn't appear in any product description. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
Mantis shrimp eyes contain at least 12 types of photoreceptor cells, while humans have only 3. This allows them to see ultraviolet and polarized light in ways we can barely describe, but they are surprisingly bad at distinguishing between colors that are close together on the spectrum. Their vision is more about processing light properties at speed than about fine color discrimination.
They can see polarized light, but they can't tell teal from turquoise.
12 photoreceptors and they're colorblind.
This has been my weird prompts. We're produced by Hilbert Flumingtop, and if you have a weird case story, a cracked monitor, a melted switch, a foam insert that saved your gear from a forklift, email us at prompts@myweirdprompts.com. Find the show at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next time you're staring at a wall of Pelican cases and wondering which one to buy, remember, the question isn't which case is toughest. It's what are you actually afraid of breaking?
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.